Amen.
I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And on behalf of the session, I'd like to wish all of you a very, very blessed Lunar New Year. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord strengthen you. And in the new year, may you find much joy and peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And may He prosper your footsteps, so that in the new year, you may be a better witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the topic this morning is a better annual race. We are talking about running an annual race. I know that this is not the calendar new year that we are talking about. Well, at the calendar new year, we were supposed to make our resolutions. Maybe you did make your resolutions, but have not been carrying out your resolutions. But now here's another opportunity for us to make the New Year resolution and carry out the resolutions that we had not started carrying out. So this morning, I hope that this message will challenge you and cause you to think about how you may be able to run the life race better this year, in the year of the rabbit. A better annual race, and I'll be speaking from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to verse 27, and then Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, the two passages that we read earlier on. Now, during the days of the great Apostle Paul, athletes would compete in those days for a wreath that was perishable, a corruptible crown, something that they would put on the head. But as we know, the wreath was made of leaves and twigs, and it would not be long before the twigs and the leaves would wither, and then they would dry up, and the crown is thrown away. So it was referred to as a corruptible crown. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25, they do it, the athletes do it, to obtain a corruptible crown. Yet people will strive for the glory of this corruptible crown. Today, the trophy that people win is, of course, a more long-lasting kind of trophy. Now, if you win your trophy, if you do not throw it away in the course of your lifetime, I think many of us throw our trophies away, right? For a time, we displayed our trophies in our cupboards, then they get tarnished, so old, and we say, so old and so junk-looking, and we throw them away. But if you don't throw your trophies away, your trophies are likely to outlast you on this earth. Yes? But let's think of the futility of the trophies that we win. Now, you can't carry the trophies along with you. No matter how great, no matter how good, no matter how nice your trophies are, you can't bring them along with you when you leave this earth. Then along with the trophy, of course, there is some glory. Some glory could be very, very great. But still, you can't carry that glory along with you. So you think of the futility of this trophy. Think of the futility of the glory. You can't carry them along with you. Now, and we know that there are sportsmen that make lots of money from their sporting achievements. Yes, but friends, they have to think of this truth. The Lord Jesus Christ says, what does it profit a man if he were to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And then besides, you can't carry the money that you make along with you. And it's true. Naked we came into this world. Naked we are going to leave this world. Now, while we recognize the futility of winning corruptible crowns, we must learn one vital lesson from athletes. One vital lesson. And what's that lesson? Now, athletes compete to win. Have you ever heard of athletes wanting to compete to lose? Maybe they are corrupt, all right? They lose, purposely lose to get some money. But as a rule, athletes will compete to win. Shane Warne, that famous cricketer of Australia, after one of the victories that they had over the English at one of the Ashes that was played, I can't remember whether it's here or in England, yes, after winning beating the British, he said this, it's all about winning. Yes, it's all about winning. He wasn't playing cricket to lose, but he played cricket to win. Yes. Now, what should our attitude be, my dear friends, towards our Christian race? Should we run to win? Or should we run just to get by? Or should we run to lose? Or should we not care at all when we run our Christian race? Whether we win or lose, it doesn't matter. No, my dear friends, let us all learn from the great Apostle Paul. He ran to obtain. He ran to obtain a crown. He ran to obtain an incorruptible crown. And Paul was highly motivated. His aim was to win that crown. And so he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and look at verse 25. Members of the church, please help our friends to refer to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 25. Make sure that everybody is reading that verse, yes please, so that you know that it is not I who am speaking, but it is the Lord that is speaking, alright? 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 25. Paul says, yes, moved by God's mighty Holy Spirit, he says, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. But we run to obtain an incorruptible crown." Friends, let's do like what the great Apostle Paul did. He ran to obtain an incorruptible crown. And let us all be very encouraged, because in a race usually there will be one champion, one winner. But in a Christian race, there is not just one winner, but there are innumerable winners. And the Lord expects us to win. He expects all of us who are in the race to win. And we must all run to obtain, we must all run to win. And that's my first point. We must all run to obtain. Now there are people who are very diligent in running the Christian race. They're humble and they're exemplary. And because they're humble, they then expect to win a crown in heaven. And so they say this, "I'll be very happy if I can be a road sweeper in heaven." Now, do you aim to be a road sweeper in heaven if there is such an occupation in heaven? I don't think there's such an occupation. But if there is such an occupation in heaven, do you aim to be a road sweeper in heaven? Ah, friends. But that's not what the great Apostle Paul teaches us to do. He says this. "I run to obtain. I run to obtain an incorruptible crown." And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. If you would just turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. But keep your finger at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. He says, Wherefore, I beseech you, he says, "Be ye followers of me, as a run, so you run. Follow me, run to win." So I say, friends, it is not pride if we say, "I want to run to obtain a crown." It is not pride. It is biblical teaching that we should all run with this aim, to win a crown, to win a prize which the Lord has, Jesus Christ, has prepared for us. Did you hear that? Alright, so don't just aim to become a road sweeper in heaven, alright? Now, but of course, there are those who are slothful in their Christian service. They know that their lives are not exemplary, and they know that they have not been running well, and therefore they cannot say like the great Apostle Paul, "I run to obtain a crown," but have to say, "Oh, I'm very, very happy. I'll be very, very satisfied when I get to heaven if I could just be a road sweeper." Now, my dear friends, such a manner of running is not pleasing to the Lord. I tell you this, on the day of judgment, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we are going to be very disappointed if we run that way. We are going to be very, very downcast, because we are not going to hear the Lord say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord." We will not be hearing that from Him. And not only is it not pleasing to Him to run in that manner, but friends, it is dangerous to run in that manner, to run not to win. It is dangerous, because you actually might not be in the race at all. You think that you are in the race, so you run in a way that you think, in a very careless manner. My dear friends, you are running in that manner possibly because you are not in the race. You were not even at the starting line. In other words, you were not a believer at all. Yes, you didn't come to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You are not saved. You are not in the race. My dear friends, why would you be in such a position? Why would you want to be in such a dangerous position? Why don't we not make it very, very sure to become believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and manifest that we are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ by running our race diligently, like the way the Lord wants us to run. Run to obtain a crown, an incorruptible crown. And by the grace of God, at the end of our race, let's pray that we may be able to say like the great Apostle Paul at the close of his life. Remember what he said. Please turn with me to 2 Timothy. I think it's good for us to look at these verses. All right. So this is what he said. I keep your finger at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. But turn to 2 Timothy. Friends of the church, members of the church, please help our friends to refer to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 7 to 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 to 8. Paul was at the close of his life. He was waiting to be executed. And this is what he said. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Let's read on together. I have kept the faith. Together. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. By the grace of the Lord, let us be able to say at the close of our life, when we have finished our race, we can say, I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown. Yes, a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Let's pray that we will run faithfully, diligently, run our race well, so that we will be able to receive that prize. So let's run to win. But how? How may we run to win? Okay, we run to obtain, but how may we run to obtain? How may we run to win? Be disciplined. Alright, be disciplined. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. I read for you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? By now, Christian race, as we said, there will be innumerable winners. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. In verse 27, Paul says, but I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. You know what that means? Paul says, I beat my body and make it my slave. That's what he means. I beat my body and make my body my slave. I discipline my body and make it absolutely under my control. That is what is meant by exercising discipline. Paul says, if we are striving for mastery, which means if we are really wanting to compete, if we really want to be in this race, we must be temperate in all things. We must be very disciplined. Now you look at the great athletes in Australia. Now, these athletes in Australia don't get to where they are without discipline. Now, look at the swimmers, for example. You know what time they get up to train in the morning? 4 a.m. All right? 4 a.m., mommy will drive the trainees to the swimming pool to train. And that's one session in the morning. Then they will go to school, the kids will go to school. Then in the afternoon, these trainees will again go for another session. And then if they are not strong enough, they go to the gym, they exercise, they build up their bodies. So the training is really very, very tough and very, very rigorous. And if the athletes were to slacken, they will not be the winners that they hope they will be. You see, discipline must be applied if we want to win our race. Then you look at those who have been champions. They can still be good. You know, these champions can still be good. But suddenly you hear that they are retiring. What's the reason? The reason is that they have achieved their successes and then there is no more fire in their belly. In other words, they lose motivation. Their lifestyle changes. They no longer exercise discipline to train. They no longer exercise discipline to bring their lives, their body under their control. And therefore, they no longer win races and they have to retire. Case in point is this great athlete by the name of Jeff Hugel. You heard of Jeff Hugel? Yes, one of our great swimmers in Australia. All right, up to the year 2005, he was winning medals. He won a silver medal in the Olympic Games. He won medals in the Commonwealth Games, and he won many medals in the international meets. Then all of a sudden, in the year 2005, we heard that this great athlete was retiring, and we retired. Yes, you know, and in the peak of his retirement, he became a big, big slob. When he was fighting fit, he weighed about 90 kilograms. Still big, right? 90 kilograms. But when he became a big slob, he weighed 138 kilograms. Big fella. All right, became very, very fat. Then in the year 2008, he decided to make a comeback. 2 years ago, he decided to make a comeback. And his was a success story. Okay, from 138 kilograms, he shed 45 kilograms and came back to his fighting fit weight of 93 kilograms. And he said this, yes, he went through a grueling training regime, pushing through pain and self-doubt along the way. And that was the kind of training that he went through. Yes, but when he was indisciplined, he was coming home past midnight when he knew that at 4 a.m. in the morning he had to be in the pool. That was what he was doing. How could he win races, right? But when he made his comeback, he was very, very disciplined again, and he said it was worth it all, because in the recent Commonwealth Games held in Delhi, he won a gold medal in the 100 meters butterfly and a silver medal in the 50 meters butterfly. So what's the lesson, my dear friends? The lesson is this. If we want to win our Christian race, we must be disciplined. Simply no other way for us to run our Christian race. We must be disciplined. We must be disciplined spiritually. So I ask you and I ask myself, how disciplined are we in doing our daily devotion? How disciplined? In the first thing in the morning, do we hit the Bible straight away? Go away, straight away, read the Bible. And then pray to the Lord. Lord, speak, for your servant heareth. Do we do that in the morning? Yes, first thing in the morning, do our daily devotion, read God's word, and pray unto Him. And we must hear Him speaking to us out of His word of life. Our Christian race cannot be run by any other way but by faith. We run our race by faith. And how does our faith grow? Our faith grows by hearing God's word. Hearing God's word. Yes, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. That's how our faith grows. And we need our faith to grow to run the Christian race. And so, my dear friends, there simply is no other way. Every day we got to wake up early in the morning, do our quiet time, do our daily devotion, and be very, very diligent in doing so. If we want to run our Christian race, because we need faith to run this Christian race, and there's no other way that we can, by which we can build up our faith, except through reading His Word. And then we must exercise the discipline of watching and praying. We're talking about exercising discipline for us to run our race successfully. There's no other way except by watching and praying. Now, we will be a casualty in the race if we fail to watch and to pray. The Lord says it very clearly in Matthew 26:41. He says this, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Yes, watch and pray. We need to be sober. We need to be vigilant, because our adversary, our enemy, Satan, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And we see a very clear picture of this on commentary shows on television. Yes, I'm sure you must have seen this in National Geographic. You see a herd of buffaloes doing their annual migration. And not far away from the herd of buffaloes, within striking distance, is a pride of lions. Haven't we seen that? And they will be following, and they will be following this herd of wild buffaloes, waiting for the moment to pounce. And so long as the buffaloes are very watchful, so long as they stay together, they'll be all right. They'll be protecting one another. But now and then we see one straggler, a young calf, so absorbed in its grazing that it is not watchful. And that's the moment the lions are waiting for. Straight away they will pounce on the young calf, pull it away and tear it to pieces. And that's what Satan does to us, my dear friends, if we are not watchful, if we are not exercising the discipline of watching and praying. In next to no time, we'll be destroyed. And I've seen this happening in the church, not only to people who sit in the pews, but to church leaders. They are not watchful, not prayerful, they are tempted, they sin, and they fail in the witness. They lose their testimony. Yes, and what has happened to them? They cannot serve. And today, there are some who not only do not serve, they are today not attending church. Not going to church at all, because they fail in their testimony. And they fail in their testimony because they were not watchful. Yes, they were not watching and not praying. And then we must also discipline ourselves in the way we think. If we want to run our Christian race successfully, we must discipline ourselves in the way we think. Remember, Paul says, I beat my body and bring it into subjection. Yes, we must discipline our bodies. We must also discipline our minds in the way we think. The mind must be well guarded, because every action begins with a thought. Did you realize that? Every action of ours begins with a thought. So from a thought, it progresses to an action. From action, it progresses to a habit. From a habit, it progresses to a character. From a character, it progresses to a destiny. You see, it all begins with a thought, and it ends up being a destiny. My dear friends, we must discipline our minds to think correctly, to think the way the Word of God wants us to think. And what should we be thinking about? What should we discipline our minds to think of? I refer us to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. All right, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, that very famous verse, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. We must discipline our mind to think on these things. Philippians 4, 8. All right, let's read this verse together. Philippians 4, 8. And again, I'd like to remind members of the church to help our friends to refer to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Let's read together. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. By the grace of God, let us pray that we may be able to discipline our mind to think on these things here. Things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, things that are of good report, things that are virtuous, things that are praiseworthy. Let's think on these things, my dear friends. Let the Lord discipline our minds so that we will always think on these things. And then we must also discipline our tongue. Our mind must be disciplined. Our tongue must be disciplined also when we run our race. Like the psalmist, we need to pray this prayer, Psalm 141, verse 3. All right, a very good verse for us to memorize. So I'd like us to turn to this verse, Psalm 141, verse 3. But keep your finger at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. All right. And keep your finger also at Philippians chapter 3. We are going to come back to those verses again. Psalm 141, verse 3. Alright, let's read together this verse. Wonderful verse for us to remember, alright, to discipline our tongue. Let's read together Psalm 141, verse 3. Together. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. My dear friends, that is the prayer that we ought to be praying all the time. Pray that the Lord will guard our tongue. Pray that our tongue will be very disciplined. Now, if the tongue is not disciplined, it can do a lot of damage. Now, let me give you a very simple example. Very often, we have people coming to us, asking us to do them a favor. They tell us, oh, I've got a problem, but I want you to keep it a secret. But I want to bring this problem to you because I know that I can trust you, and I know that you will surely pray for me. So please pray for me, but keep this matter as a secret. Don't share it with anybody. But the next thing that we do is, we didn't bring this matter to another person. You know, so-and-so told me about his problem, and he said to me not to tell anybody, but I'm telling you because I hope that you will pray for this person. I can trust you. You know, that's why I'm telling you. We do that, don't we? Yes, many times we do that. But friends, what we have done is we have betrayed the trust of that person. How damaging it is to that person who wanted us to keep his secret a secret. How we need the Lord to keep watch over our tongue, to keep the door of our lips. Now, our tongue can be very destructive. Yes, it can. Because of the sinful nature, our tongue is very, very capable of spreading things that are untrue, things that are malicious, things that are harmful. We need, my dear friends, to pray the same prayer for our tongue as we pray for our mind. All right, same prayer. We need to pray this prayer, and I recommend that we pray this prayer for ourselves. Lord, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, Lord, help me to speak only these things. My dear friends, not only think these things, but speak these things. We need our mind, our tongue, the mind to think this way, to think these things, and we need for our tongue to speak these things. And by the grace of God, let us discipline our tongue to always share the thing that is most true, most honest, most just, most pure, most virtuous, and most praiseworthy. And what's the thing that is all this? Of course, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we need to discipline our tongue. And the best thing to do really is to discipline our tongue so that we may be ready with our tongue to share the gospel with people. And we need also to discipline our tongue to always try to share things or say things that will build people up in the most holy faith. And let us be disciplined in all that we do. Let's be temperate in all things, disciplined, moderate in all things. When we eat, let us eat in moderation. And let us make sure that we do enough exercises for our body, because our body is the temple of God's Holy Spirit. Treat this body well. It's the temple of God's Holy Spirit. So do enough exercises, yes, and keep this body as healthy as possible. And let us make sure that we have enough sleep. I know that young people do not like to sleep, right? They sleep very little, they go late into the night, and they sleep very little, and they do not have enough sleep. And that's not healthy for the body. Friends, we must have enough sleep. But let us also not oversleep. Yes, to oversleep is laziness, all right? Now, let me move on to my next point. In order to win the race, we not only must exercise discipline, but we must go in the right direction. All right? Exercise discipline, go in the right direction. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Paul says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I count not myself to have arrived. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." My dear friends, to run our Christian race, we must forget the things which are behind. Now, what are the things to forget? We want to go in the right direction, right? So we must forget things that are behind. But what are the things to forget? First of all, we must forget the guilt of the wrongs that we were guilty of in time past. Now let me explain what I mean. I'm not saying that we forget about the wrongs, alright? We were once wretched sinners, let us remember the truth. We were once wretched sinners. Yes, let us remember the truth that we were once wretched sinners, heading for eternal hell and eternal damnation. But there was a day when the Lord saved us. Let's learn from the great apostle Paul. Paul never forgot who he was. Alright, if you turn to Acts chapter 26, you will know that he knew exactly who he was, and he never forgot who he was. Alright, please turn with me to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26, but keep your finger at Philippians chapter 3, but Acts 26, I read for you, verse 11. Alright, Paul never forgot who he was. You see, he said this in Acts chapter 26, verse 11. He said, "And I punish them off." I punish them. The "them" here refers to Christians. "I punish Christians often in every synagogue, and I force them to blaspheme the name of Jesus. and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. My dear friends, was he guilty of the wrongs that he did? Of course he was guilty. But did he keep remembering the guilt of the wrongs that he did? No, my dear friends, he was not going to allow the guilt of his wrongs to weigh him down until he became ineffective for the service of the Lord. No! So what did he focus on? My dear friends, of course he remembered the wrongs he did, but he didn't focus on his guilt. He focused on two other things. He focused on the mercy of the Lord, and he focused on the grace of God. These were the two things he focused on. Now, how do we know that? He says so in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. All right? 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. And then up to 15. All right? I read the verses for you. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. He says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who enabled me. So Jesus was the one who enabled him, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. So the Lord was the one who put him into the ministry. The Lord was the one who caused him to be faithful. All right, verse 13. Who was before a blasphemer? You see, he never forgot who he was. Yeah? Who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious? But I obtained mercy. So what did he focus on? On his guilt? No. He focused on the Lord's mercy. He said, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And look at verse 14. What else did he focus on? And the grace, you see, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. So he focused on two things, the mercy of the Lord and the grace of the Lord in saving him. Verse 15. And this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save what? To save sinners. That was what he was focusing on. Christ, by his grace and his mercy, came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He never forgot who he was, but he never allowed his guilt to weigh him down, because he was focusing on two things, God's mercy and God's grace. Now, the direction we should take in our Christian race is to forget our past guilt. Yes, sure, we are guilty of those sins, but forget our past guilt and not allow the guilt to weigh us down, but focus rather on his mercy and his grace, and be thankful to him for his grace and his mercy. And how do we show our thankfulness for his grace and his mercy? How? The way to show our thankfulness for his grace and his mercy, my dear friends, is of course to share his grace and his mercy with people. That is how we show our gratitude for his grace and his mercy. And what else should we forget? All right, we have to forget those things which are behind, right? So that we run our Christian race. Okay, what else should we forget? We should forget our failures in our Christian witness. I don't mean to say that we should just sweep all our failures under the carpet. By no means. The point is this, we should not dwell on our past failures and then despair and give up doing the good that we should be doing. Some people do that. They think of only their failures and say, I'm doomed, I'm useless, I can't do anything for the Lord. And then they give up. No, my dear friends, we should rather dwell on this. How we may be able to learn from our past failures and then take the necessary corrective actions. That's what we should be dwelling on. Yes, and in this regard, the children of the world are usually wiser than the children of light. And we can learn many lessons from them, from children of the world. And our case in point is this company that I used to work for years ago. Yes, I remember telling you about my company. The company that I work for, losing money for 3 consecutive years. It's not nice to work in a company like that. Losing money for 3 consecutive years. The company could just go bust very, very easily. Yes, and we were losing in market shares because the competition was very, very stiff. The competition was coming from Japan, and the Japanese were making a very, very good machine, as good as ours. And they were gaining market shares on us. And then all our other competitors, the European competitors and the American competitors, had all fallen out. They were no longer in the market. They could not compete anymore. Ours was the last one standing, and we could easily have gone the way of the other companies. But the company decided that something had to be done. So they called in these business gurus, you know, who came in to study the situation in our company. And one of the things they found out was that the company was not doing well, failing because it was not responsive to the needs of the users. Yes. So they say that the culture must change. There must be a change in the management culture in the company. What was the change? The change was this. All those big guns and all those big shots in the company were no longer allowed to sit in the ivory tower in the US. They were all to go out into the fields, and they were to make decisions in the fields. You see, formerly what happened was, if there was a problem, the problem would be directed to headquarters, and then it would take many days before the answer came back, and that was not good enough. So these big decision makers now were out into the fields, making decisions on the spot. And that was the correct action to take. And in next to no time, the company was back on in its winning ways, and it returned to profitability very quickly. This is a lesson we must learn, my dear friends, as Christians in our Christian race. Yes, we must not dwell on our past failures. Let's forget our past failures. What should be the direction we should be taking? Forget about our past failures, but learn the reason. The reason as to why we fail, and after having discovered the reasons, we must then take the necessary corrective actions. Now, what are some possible reasons as to why we fail in our Christian race? Number one, we could fail possibly because we do not consult God. Yes, we did our own thing. We didn't hear what His word says to us. His word tells us very, very clearly there are certain things that are permitted, there are certain things that are not permitted. Yes, if what we want is something that is not permitted by the one true living God, the direction is very clear. Don't even pray about it. The Lord says no, so don't even pray about it. And then if we went into something, a relationship, a job, or something which the Lord does not permit, you can be very, very sure that we are going to end up as spiritual failures. Yes, we must have seen lots and lots of broken relationships, unequal yoke relationships. Yes, a believing partner with an unbelieving partner, and in a business or in a marriage relationship. Yes, and the relationships fail, of course. It is only when His word says yes that we can begin to pray about the thing that we want to have or the thing that we want to do, and not before that. And in time, God will show His will to us very, very clearly. Yes, and if we are doing His will, there can only be one end result, and that is success. Spiritual success, not necessarily material success, but spiritual success. That surely the Lord will grant to us. And what are other possible reasons as to why we fail in our spiritual race? We fail because we are overconfident. Yes, and we are overconfident, we are lifted up with pride. And invariably, pride goes before destruction. The word of God says, pride goeth before destruction, and haughty spirit before a fall. When we are overconfident, naturally, we will not prepare enough for the race. Because we are too confident, we think we'll make it, and we don't prepare hard enough. A famous American football coach by the name of Hurry-Up Yost of the University of Michigan once scolded an overconfident player of his. And because this player had said this, "We will win because we have the will to win," he said. Hurry-Up Yost said to him, "Don't fool yourself. Your will to win is not worth a dime. Unless you have the will to prepare to win." You must have the will to prepare to win. And you say, "Oh yeah, I will do well in my exams because I have the will to do well." No, my dear friends, you can have all the will that you have, but you are not going to do well unless you prepare hard for your exams, unless you're prepared to sweat. Every day there must be this preparation for the day. We must see every day as a race day as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and make the necessary preparation for the day. And how do we prepare ourselves for the day? My dear friends, no other way. Yes, we pray And then we watch, we pray, we do our daily devotion before we get into the day. That's how we prepare ourselves for the day. Yes, we must recognize that we are not equal to the task of living for Him every day. Yes, we need His power and we need His might to live a holy life and to live a life of love for other people. And so, my dear friends, we need preparation. We need to do our daily devotion diligently. And what else can be causing our spiritual failures? What else? It is sin, my dear friends. When we sin and we do not repent from our sins, we're actually not running at all. You think you are running, but you are not. You've sinned, you didn't repent, you are not running. In fact, you are backsliding. That's exactly what's happening to you. So, my dear friends, to run our race successfully, we must go in the right direction. Yes, we must forget the past. What do we forget? Forget our past, the guilt of our past sins. And focus on the past guilt, but rather focus on His mercy and on His grace. And what else must we forget? Let's forget our past successes. And forget our past failure, my dear friends. And instead of focusing on our past failures, let us ask why we failed. And then after having discovered the reasons as to why we fail, let us take the necessary corrective actions. Then, what else must we do, my dear friends, to run our race successfully? What else must we forget? We must forget our past guilt, forget our past failures, but we also must forget our past successes. Now, if Paul wanted to boast of his successes, he had plenty of successes to boast about. Think of the number of people he brought to the Lord. Think of the number of churches that he established. And think of the number of people that he built up in the faith. And think of the great persecutions that he went through successfully. So he had many, many things to boast about. But he said this, I forget those things which are behind me. My failures, my past guilt, and also my past successes. Like him, my dear friends, we must forget our past successes. They could be successes in our studies, our jobs, our business, our relationship with people, our service for the Lord. We could be very, very successful in all these things. My dear friends, if we dwell on our past successes, we are not going to move forward. But move forward, we must. We might have done well in our Sunday school teaching. We might have done well in leading a Bible study group. We might have done well in leading a fellowship. And then we say, I've done enough. I just keep on doing what I'm doing in the past, what I've been doing in the past. But dear friends, let us not be contented with our past successes, but let us move forward and aim to do better for the Lord in the new year. Let us quicken our steps as we realize that another year has passed and the Lord's return is nearer by another year. And to win the race, we need to go in the right direction, as we said. Forget those things which are in the past, but look forward. Let's follow the direction of the great Apostle Paul. He says in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, he says, Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I count not myself to have arrived. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The right thing for us to do, the right direction for us to go, is to forget those things which are behind, and then to reach forth unto the things which are before, and press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In our service for Him, we must set new goals. Yes, let's go in the same direction as Paul did. And Paul used very, very strong action words. He said, I reach forth. You know what's meant by to reach forth? By to reach forth means to stretch with anticipation. That's what is meant by reaching forth. Now, I think many of us who work in the modern office will understand what is meant by stretching, right? In time past, maybe in your department that you are now working in, there were 10 employees, but seven employees were declared redundant because of reorganization, and now there are only 3 of you left in that office, and 3 of you are doing 10 people's work. So what do? My dear friends, you have to stretch. You have to work very, very hard. That's what is meant by stretching. Friends, I ask you and ask myself, are we prepared to stretch for the Lord? Are we prepared to stretch for Him in all that we do, whether it be in the office, whether it be in our homes, whether it be in the church, whether it be in our school, whether it be in our university? Are we willing to stretch for the Lord? Not for yourself, not for your boss, not for your parents, not for anyone else, but for the Lord. Are you willing to stretch for Him? Yes. And you students, are you willing to stretch for the Lord? Which means, are you willing to do better for the Lord? Are you willing to work harder, willing to stretch with anticipation for the Lord in the new year? And then you office workers, are you prepared to stretch to serve the Lord better as you serve your employer in your office? And you parents, are you willing to stretch to help your children grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you prepared to stretch to encourage them to participate in all the various spiritual activities that we have in the church? And then are you prepared to stretch to teach them how to pray, to teach them how to read the Word of God? It's going to take your time, yes, patience, but are you prepared to stretch? Are you prepared to stretch to teach them how to pray and how to read God's Word? Then all of us here, all, are we prepared to stretch to serve the Lord better in the church in the new year? Are we prepared to stretch, my dear friends, to bring someone to the Lord? Are we prepared to stretch in the new year to come to the church prayer meeting to pray for the church and to pray for the well-being of this church and for our fellow members in the church? Then look at another strong action word that he made use of. He used the word press. He pressed forward toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He pressed forward, yes, towards the goal of getting the prize which Christ from heaven had prepared for him to obtain. Paul was very, very clear in his mind. He ran for this purpose, and that is to obtain this prize. Very, very clear in his mind. What motivates us to run our Christian race? My dear friends, I ask you, what motivates you to run the Christian race? There are people who run the Christian race because they see other people run the Christian race. Say, that's a good race to run. Look at these people. How joyful they are in running the Christian race. They seem to have found the real meaning of life. I think it's good for me to run this race also. Yes, maybe it's good to run that way, but not really very, very good. Yes, I've seen a young man actually doing that. There were people who were supposedly setting him good examples. Yes, they seem to be running the Christian race very, very joyfully. And so he said, I must run that race also. And yet, so he tried to enter into the race. But these older Christians didn't set him a good example. In time, they fell away. And so what happened to this young man? My dear friends, he also fell out of the race, because the older Christians set him the wrong example. And he had the wrong motivation. He was trying to copy the example of other people. Yes, and I've seen also people trying to run the Christian race because they want to fulfill the wishes of the deceased loved ones. Yes, those were the last words of their loved ones. They had told them to run the Christian race, be faithful to the Lord. They say, yes, I'll be faithful to the Lord, I'll run the Christian race. But when they run the Christian race, they find that it is not that easy to run that Christian race. And so, being not well motivated, they fall away from the race also. Friends, we must be correctly motivated in running the Christian race. And the motivation is to run to obtain this prize that Christ has prepared for us from heaven. We must hear Him calling us to run this race. Yes, He calls us to run. We must say, yes, Lord, I will run this race for You. I will win this prize for You. The Word of God talks about various kinds of crowns. The crown of righteousness, the crown of glory, the crown of life, the crown of rejoicing. When Paul talked about pressing forward toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, surely he must be thinking of these crowns that he might possibly be able to win. My dear friends, let us run our race to win crowns, just like the way the great apostle Paul ran his race and was motivated to run to obtain these crowns. So let me ask you, and I ask myself also, are we running the Christian race to win or just to get by? Friends, let us run to win. Run to win, run to obtain the prize of the high, the prize that the Lord Jesus Christ has prepared for us from heaven. And how may we win? Be disciplined, friends, be disciplined. We must treat every day as a race day. Every day we must be very, very disciplined to do our daily devotion. There is simply no other way to run this race. We said it over and over again. Every day we must exercise this discipline to do our daily devotion. We must hear Him speak to us so that we may have the faith to run this race. It is only when we hear Him speak to us that our faith will grow so that we may be able to run this race effectively. And when we run, we must also exercise the discipline of watching and praying. If we don't watch, we don't pray, soon we will fall prey to the evil one. And we must discipline our minds and our tongues to sing and to say the right things. And what are the things that we should be thinking about and the things we ought to be saying? Well, things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, things that are of good report, things that are virtuous, things that are praiseworthy. My dear friends, these are the things that we ought to be thinking about. These are the things that we ought to be speaking about. And in order that we may win our race, we must go in the correct direction, the right direction. And how may we go in the right direction? The way to do it is to forget those things which are behind. What are the things to forget? Forget about our guilt, my dear friends, but focus on God's grace and mercy. What else to forget? Forget about our failures, but rather focus on the reasons as to why we fail and then take the necessary corrective actions so that we may run our race effectively. And then, in going the right direction, what must we do? Yes, we must reach forth. We must stretch to serve Him better and be better witnesses for Him. And we are to press forward. Yes, press forward toward the goal of receiving the prize which the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven has prepared for us. Now, what is the greatest crown that we may be able to obtain? I ask you, my dear friends, what do you think is the greatest crown? Is it the crown of rejoicing? The crown of righteousness? The crown of life? Yes, the crown of glory. Which one? My friends, I think that the greatest crown that we will be able to wear, the greatest crown that we can ever get, is to hear the Lord Jesus Christ say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord." My dear friends, let us run the race in this manner, so that we will be able to run to obtain and get this prize. Now then, to those who have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, what I said this morning is meaningless to you. You know why it's meaningless to you? It's meaningless to you because you are not in this race at all. You were not even at the start line. My dear friends, you are not in this race at all. That's why it's meaningless to you. But friends, why don't you make this race meaningful to you? You know, at the end of this race, we are going to see Jesus face to face. Yes? That's what is going to happen. Why don't you enter into this race, run this race faithfully, so that at the end of this race, you see this Savior waiting for you. And if you run this race faithfully, you are going to hear Him say to you, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord." And how may you enter into this race? Simple, my dear friends, this morning, repent from your sins. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him to come into your hearts. Ask Him to come into your heart. Ask Him to be your Savior and ask Him to use His precious blood to cleanse you of all sins. Would you not do that this morning? Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word of life. Lord, we thank You that You have entered us into this life race. We pray that we may run this race diligently, faithfully, forgetting those things which are behind, but reaching forth unto the things which are before. Help us, O Lord God, to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And we pray for those who are still outside Your kingdom, who are not entered into this race yet. We pray that You will move their hearts so that they will come and join the race and cause them to realize that at the end of the race, there is this wonderful prize for them. They will see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. And if they are faithful, they will hear him say to them, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Lord, help us that we may do the right thing in following hard after you." In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.